Amen. Look at your neighbor. You looking at a neighbor, left or right, or both, and say, you're loved by God. All right, now turn the other way. You went left or right, now turn the other way and say, you are loved by God. All right. Now you're loved by God. You believe that? Good. Now look to your neighbor and say, you. Now turn to the other neighbor and say, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now turn to the other neighbor and tell him the same thing. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. All right. That's what we've been talking about since January. A vision and purpose and that kind of thing. And we determined through the great commandment and the great commission and that kind of thing, through God's word, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind, love our neighbors ourselves, and to take the great commission, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and spread it all around Clarkdale and Mississippi and our nation and around the world. And he said he'd be with us to the end of the age. Then we said, well, if we're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we're going to spread the gospel, we got to have a few things to help us along the way to do that. And that's where these, not new terms at all, you read them on the screen before we ever get in here, before the praise team or the preacher gets in here, what have you, you read these on the screen. Prayer must be a priority. Discipleship's definite. Evangelism's essential. Fellowship's fundamental. And missions is our mandate. You read it. You think about it. We emphasize it at more sometimes more than we do others. But certainly we have to do these things if we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, spread the gospel. These things have to be a part of who we are. Jeremiah 33:3. On the screen says, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. He said, I want you to do what? I want you to call unto me. Take your cell phone out and call the Lord. No, you do it by prayer. I want you to call. Call unto me, and what? I might? If I'm having a good day, I'll answer you. No. I what? Will. I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Great and unsearchable things you do not know. A great Old Testament scripture concerning the ministry of prayer. Now, the question comes to me and to you, to all of us today, is the question is, do I want to see? Do I want to see? Do I want to experience? Do we want to see? Do we want to experience? Do we want to know the great and mighty things of God? Now, everybody in church this morning around the world do not want to see greater things of God. A lot of people want to see just what they've been seeing for 30 years. A lot of people want to see just what they're comfortable with, and they got the Sunday school thing down and the Sunday night thing or the small group or the worship thing on Sunday morning, and we sing songs, we preach a little bit, we do this, that, and the other, and they're good. Okay? That's the majority, really, I think. You may disagree. But I think the majority is we're okay. We know. We've been saved. And when we call to Jesus, he says he'll answer us and he'll tell us the great and unsearchable things you do not know. Then, if we think about that, the human nature says, I don't know about that. I'm a little uncomfortable with that. How many times in the church and other places do you hear, I'm not comfortable with that? And if as much love as I know how to tell you, sometimes I think God in heaven says that's a bunch of whiny babies. Now, I don't know if God would do something like that. You're saying I don't believe God would ever call anybody a whiny baby. Well, if he don't, he's got a nicer way to put it. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable doing that. You're comfortable about doing everything else, but not saying things about Jesus or experiencing more about Jesus or whatever in that human nature. And don't forget the devil himself. He comes around too. Human nature, the devil, and all these other things come against us too. That really, do I want to know the great and unsearchable things of God? If I know more about God, if I know something greater about God than I know today, if I know something, some of these unsearchable things that I don't know about God today, what will that require of me? I might have to live different. I might have to act different. I might have to do all these things that people say, oh, what if God would? And then we fill in the blank. Do we want to see the great and unsearchable things of God? That's a question we've got to answer. Because the unknown, the uncomfortable things, the unknown brings the anxiety of, oh goodness, or we're not in control, and we're not in control anyway, but we think we are sometimes. To step out and experience something new. To step out and experience greater things of Almighty God. Well, wait a minute. I'm already saved. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I repented of my sins, and He saved me. I asked the Holy Spirit to fill me, so I'm sanctified. I'm coming to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing my devotions, preacher. I've got this thing down. Well, congratulations. I'm glad you're doing all those things. But the question is, not are we doing our devotions, not how's our prayer life really, but do we want to see the great and unsearchable things of God? Good question for us to answer. We're creatures of habit. You know that. Creatures of habit. You got up today, probably out of the same bed in case you bought a new one recently. You got up on the same side of the bed. You went through the same routine this morning, and you ended up here. And I'm glad you're here. God is too. But we're creatures of habit. We do the same thing over and over. And we struggle because we're creatures of habit. Because we like the norm. We like whatever that is. We're still trying to figure out what that is. But we're creatures of habit, and we don't like anything to mess with that. And if something different happens, it's, ooh, goodness. What if something different happens in our spiritual lives in 2018? What if we get serious about the Great Commission and the Great Commandment that we're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind? I'm not sure that we even understand that one yet, to be honest. And I'm part of we. That have we got that yet? Well, yeah, we can quote it, we can say it, but am I loving God with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind? Well, am I going to spread the gospel any place I can? Be a part of spreading the gospel places I'll never go? Am I making prayer a priority? Do I want to see great and unsearchable things of God? I hope I do. Am I a creature of habit? Yes, I am. But God's bigger than my comfort zone. So, there's a danger in getting in a rut. There's a danger of being, this is what I'm accustomed to. This is what I've done for many years. And some things we do for many years over and over and over are great things to do. You know, some of you have, quote, habits that are excellent habits. And keep doing those things. We don't have to change everything. God's not saying, hey, this, that, or the other. There's things we're doing every day, every week in the church, in your life, in the family, that are good things. Keep them up. But do you want to see more? Do you want to see more of God in your spiritual walk? Do you want to see more of God in the family unit you're a part of? Do you want to see more of God in His church at Jones Chapel? Do we want to see some unsearchable things? Do we want this presence we were singing about today? Do we want more of His presence? Lord, help us come. We want You to come. I want Your presence. Well, His presence is here. And then that other little line there said, make us aware. Make us aware of Your presence. The presence of God. Where can you go to escape the presence of God? He said, no place. But listen, be aware of His presence. Be aware of what He's up to. Henry Blackaby's the one who said in his experiencing God, God's always up to something what? Good. We must find it and join Him. God's always up to something good. So, 50 years ago, things were done differently than they are today. True statement. In just about any business or church or anything else you can talk about. Yes, there's different methods, same gospel, same Jesus Christ, and man has come so far. Think about when this was written here in Jeremiah. Think of the year span. Think of the difference in society and culture and people. A lot has changed and a lot's remained the same. People needed God back then. People need God today. He's saying, call to me and I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable things you do not know. They needed it in Jeremiah's day. We need it in our day. And as long as the earth goes, we'll need it. Man will need it. So man has achieved so much. Yes, we're thankful. We can talk about technology and everything else, but mankind is still what? Limited. Mankind is still limited. No matter how great we are in technology or whatever, space travel. I don't even believe in people went to the moon. I'd hear people say that years ago when I was a kid. And now private companies, space shuttles. One day, if you got enough money, you can jump on one and take off. And that's not that far away. Times have changed, but yet man is limited. Man is limited. You know, 50 years ago or more years probably now, the polio vaccine is a great thing. I had a psychology professor who was affected by polio. She was Miss Sheffy. She was a short little lady, braces on her legs, still had the crutches and all that kind of stuff. She'd tell us the stories. Miss Sheffy, polio. Well, what about today? You don't hear much about polio. The greatest of technology that mankind's ever known medically can do so much, but yet mankind is limited. Mankind is limited. Oh, some people don't think we are, but we are. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. All of man's achievements, good things, they're still limited. And God says, listen what? Listen here. I can do greater things. I can do great and mighty things that you don't know anything about yet. Pardon me. If you will call upon my name, if you'll call me, guess what? I'm going to answer you. The next slide, here's the demand on us. Call unto me. Call unto me. We have the greatest resource of heaven and earth. The Christian people do. The born again people do. The greatest resource that mankind has ever known. And it's in God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. What else? What can top God Almighty? What can top Jesus Christ the Savior? What can top the power of the Holy Spirit? Nothing. The greatest resource ever known to man, the Savior, the Creator, I mean the one who holds the future. It's at our disposal, and we can call to Him, and He says, I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and unsearchable things. Man's limited. God says, listen here, you call unto me, you speak to me, and call unto me, in this prayer thing, I designed this for you. I've designed this, God says, in so many words, for you to be able to pray. Jesus died, the curtain, the veil was ripped in two, and guess what? Ever since then, we can talk directly to God in Jesus' name. He said, I designed it for you. I love you. I created you. Here's the resources of heaven. I want you to pray. I want you to make prayer a priority. Call unto me. And who can do that? Well, the elite can call unto God, but nobody else. God didn't do that. Jesus showed up to the shepherds, you know, or the angel did, telling about Jesus. First, the low of the low. So who can call unto me? The teacher can. The preacher can. The missionary can. How about the most educated? They can. How about the lowest educated? They can. How about the oldest of the old? How about the youngest of the young? All can call unto him. Call unto me. So we don't have any excuse. We don't have any excuses not to call on God because we all can do it. Every one of you. When's the last time you called upon the name of the Lord? Well, I just did that in Sunday school. Bill just did that here. How's your prayer life? How's it going? Prayer must be a priority. We don't have any excuse. We just need to do it. You want to talk to President Trump today? Good luck. You'll never do it. You'll never do it today. You know, and you got to go through all these steps. You got to do through all this. And here again, we're not talking about the leader of the free world. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the one that created you in your mother's womb. We're talking about the one that created Adam and Eve. Every tree you see, every ocean, and every hill, and every mountain, the one who created you, the heavens, and the earth. He says, guess what? You can call unto me. You can communicate with me, and I will answer you. And I will show you greater and unsearchable things you don't know anything about. The question comes back to us again. Do we want that? Do we desire that? Do we want to see more of God? I hope we do. I pray we do. So if I call unto me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know about. What's the subject matter? Okay, call unto me, I got that, I'll answer you, I even accept that, Lord, I'll call, you'll answer, and you'll tell me great and unsearchable things you don't know. Well, what is the subject? What's the subject matter here? Well, what is it? Anything that you can think of. The biggest thing you can think of, the smallest thing you can think of. God says, you can bring anything to me. I want to answer you. Certainly spiritual things. I want to grow you. I'll answer you. I might say yes. I might say no. I might say wait. But I will answer you. I will answer you. So if I call unto him, he promises he'll answer me and he'll tell me great and unsearchable things about any subject, about the subject matter that's on my heart and my mind, if it concerns me today in my life. What concerns you today? What's on your mind today? What is your burden? What is your concern? What is on your heart and your mind today? Well, if it's on yours, God said, you can bring it to me. You can bring it to me. I love you. I created you. Listen, you can bring it to me. Whatever the subject is, you can bring it to me. Well, how about my marriage? Right now it's on the rocks, boys. It's just not too good. I told Judy if she left me, I was going with her. No, I'm not talking about my marriage exactly. No, I'm just not going to go there today. I'm not talking about me personally, but I'm talking about marriage, your life, whatever. How is it? Well, if you only knew, preacher. She did that and he did that and whoo, boy. Here we go. You call unto God, He says he'll answer you and show you great and unsearchable things that you know not of. I do believe with all my heart, and I have prayed this prayer, and Judy's probably prayed it too. Lord, help me to love Judy the way I should. You pray you to love me the way you should. Kick it up a little bit. That you got to pray to God and say, hey, help me, Lord, when Judy's in one of those moods. And boy, howdy, let me tell you about her. No. Help me to love her the way I should. Okay? Submit yourselves. You know that we go back over here to Ephesians, and you know, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And that's something we should do. It's important. Then we go on down, and it says, and husbands, what? Love your wife the way Christ loved the church. Boy, howdy. And all the men just goes, ooh, try to catch our breath. We love our wives the way Christ loved the church. Well, I'll show you great and unsearchable things here. Maybe God would give me more insight to Judy. Maybe God would give her more insight to me. Maybe God would give you in your relationships more insight into that person, that you could see some hurt, or you could see some things that happened, or you could just say, God would say, hey, just do this for a while. How about health? How about your job? How about your sanity? God said, I'll answer you. But he wants us to pray. He wants us to be honest, fervent in prayer. The next slide says, call to me and I will answer. I will answer. And when God says, I will, he does that. He answers. He cannot lie. I will show you the things that you know not. I'll do great and mighty things, whether you understand them or not. Well, I've got to understand everything about God before I can do this. Before I can have any faith in that area, I got to know just what God said exactly. And if I don't understand it exactly, I'm just not going to accept it. Who do you think you are? You think you're going to understand all the ways of God while you're on this earth? He gives us understanding. He'll show us great and unsearchable things. But you're no match for God. We're no match for God. And whether we understand it or not, our thoughts, our mind, our processes are certainly short when it comes to the things of God. But he says, I'll show you. He said, I'm going to give you what you need here. I'm going to show you these things. I'll take you places you've never been before. Some of you read Tony Campolo's books, and in one of his books he's talking about the seminary and different things, and they didn't believe in divine healing. And this lady come to his church and said, I want you to anoint my girl, I think it was. It could have been a child, let's put it that way. And wanted the child to be anointed and prayed for. And he was brave enough to say, we don't believe in that. And second Sunday, I want you to anoint and pray for my child. We don't do that here. The third Sunday night, the lady came again and said, I want you to anoint my child and pray for healing. And he did. He said, we don't believe in that. But the third time, he did. And the child had spina bifida, and the child was healed. That's the story in that book. Well, his professor called him in, and he said, you know, what I understand that this lady came to you, blah, blah, blah. The story went out again. And the professor said to him, could it be that God is greater than we think? Could it be that God's greater than we think? Could it be that the Baptists believe this, and the Methodists believe that, and the Catholics believe that, and the Church of God believes this, and, you know, we've got a lot of things in common. Jesus is the subject. Jesus needs to remain the subject. Could it be that God's greater than all those denominations put together? You better believe it. Does God have great and unsearchable things that I do not know about? Yes, I believe He does. And if I will call, He will answer, and He will help me to see things that I need to see to live this life in order to bring Him glory. Not so I can be so smart. No, not because I can write 10 books and have bestsellers. That could be a part of it. But because He will show us things to help us in our everyday life and to bring Him glory. Bring Him glory. God's greater and bigger and more wonderful than all our problems. So what's your problem today? What's our problems today? What's our concerns? What's on our mind today? We need to understand that God's bigger than all those things. We need to know that God is bigger than the economy. God's bigger than the political scene. God is bigger than the news. God is greater. And He says, if you'll call unto Me, I will answer you, and I'll show you these great and unsearchable things to you. Could it be we just need to allow God to be God and get out of the way? Could it be that we need to get out of the way and say, okay, God, be God? And I pray a lot of things in a course of a day, just like you do. We pray for our families. We pray for the sick. We pray and for the church, and all that's good stuff. But what if we just said, okay, God, do something. Do whatever You choose to do. Do something new. Show Me the great. Show Me the unsearchable things for me, my family, and the church right here at Jones Chapel. Are you settled in pretty good in your religion? Are you settled in pretty good in your walk with the Lord? You say, well, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm settled in and everything's pretty good. I'm glad it's pretty good. I'm glad you've been faithful through the years. I thank You for that. And God does. But is there something new? Is there something new God wants to do in you? Because you haven't accomplished it all. Because we don't know it all. We see very little, in all honesty. Is there something God wants to do? If we say no, no mediocre stuff here, God. Because we have determined as our vision and our mission and our purpose that You have said, the greatest thing we could hear is that we are to love You, Lord, with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. And we're to spread the gospel. Okay, Lord, if I'm going to love You with all my heart and my soul and my mind, and I'm going to spread the gospel, if that's the first and most important things You've said for me to do, and for You to do, the church to do, people to do, then we got to get busy doing that. And Lord, is there a new way? Is there something else here for us? I don't want to live a mediocre life. I don't want my children to see me living a mediocre life. I don't want to see my grandchildren living a mediocre life when it comes to the things of God. I don't want the neighbor next door to think, well, that old preacher's just mediocre or whatever. He's just whatever. You know, I don't see any fruit in his life. I don't see him doing anything or that doing anything. Or they just seem like old people of the world. What's different about them? Do you believe this world needs to see something out of God's people today? Do you believe the world we live in needs a good dose of Jesus? Do you believe the economy? Do you believe the political scene? Do you believe the scene on the world stage when you take it all in and you watch the news? Does anybody need to hear the gospel? Does anybody need to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ loving God the Father with all their heart and their soul and their mind? Does anybody need to see that in your family, out of you? Does anybody in this community need to see it out of us? Does anybody in the state need to see it out of us and help around the world to spread this glorious gospel? Oh, we need to call unto the Lord. We need to call. And he said he'd answer, and then he'd tell us great and unsearchable things. Yes, we need to make prayer a priority. Like the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine being there on the day of Pentecost? Can you imagine all the people gathered under the tribes and the nations represented there? And then here's this message and everybody's looking around and they're seeing and they see the miraculous signs and they hear the message in their own native language and tongue. And they're saying, man, what's going on here? And they were all amazed at what happened. People can still be amazed today if we'll make prayer a priority. World can be amazed like it was on the day of Pentecost. Still in 2018, the world can be amazed at the goodness of God. I believe the world can truly be amazed. I believe people can be healed today. I believe an alcoholic can be dried out by the grace of God. I believe a drug addict can be set free by the grace of God. I believe that a good moral person who's still headed to hell because they won't get saved can get saved today, just like they did years ago. How long has it been since you prayed through? How long has it been since you felt a touch from God? Really felt a touch from God in your spirit? How long has it been? How long has it been since you took time to make prayer a priority? Well, what do you need today? Good question for all of us. What do I need today that would help me in my life and I could help others and it would glorify God? Just what do I need from God today? Salvation, that comes to mind first. If anybody here needs to be saved, you ask the Lord to forgive you of sin. You repent of sin and accept His forgiveness. That's the first thing. Will you come? Now, who said that? Billy Graham. All the stuff you see on the news about Billy Graham. What a man, huh? What a servant of God through the years. And the lives he's touched around the world. Billy Graham. For some of you who've been to the Cove with us the last year or two, there he was, his body in that coffin made by prisoners, I think it said. But I could see in the place there, if you've been to the Cove, you could see the rocking chairs through those big old windows. And there he was, lying in state. And he moved on to a museum or whatever. I don't even know when the funeral is or whatever. But I know he is a great man of God. And God raised him up and used him. What about us? I'll never be a Billy Graham. You'll never be a Billy Graham, but I will be a Ron Leonard. I will be a Ron Leonard all the days of my life, saved by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and doing what God calls me to do. I can do that. Who will you be? Billy Graham? No, you're not going to be Billy Graham, but you will be Judy Leonard. And you will be Sharon and Sandra and Faye and Morris and Lee and Tommy and Luke and David. All you in here too, Colton, you'll be a Dooley all your life. My little grandson will be a Dooley all of his life. Bless him, Lord, bless him. And I can pray for a little guy named Cannon Lane Dooley. that God would raise him up. He may never be a Billy Graham. He might be an engineer. He might be a banker. He may be a doctor. He may be a janitor. He may be, I don't know what he may be. But if I've got anything to do with it, through prayer, he'll be a man of God. He'll love the Lord, his God, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and all of his mind. Because when all's said and done, that's all that's going to matter. You need healing of any kind today. Your relationships, your finances, a spiritual awakening. Do you need a spiritual awakening, really? Do we? Are we mediocre? Are we satisfied with doing little in the kingdom? Or do we want to do more? Do we want to make prayer a priority? Do you want God to show you great and unsearchable things? Do you? I believe he will, according to his word. But prayer has to be a priority. Folks, it's just this simple. Here we are, getting ready to go home. But I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, for your own well-being, for my own well-being, to call. Call unto the Lord and let him answer you. We don't always like the answers, and we don't always like the timing of those answers. But he is God, and he does all things well. Will you call unto him today, not to live a mediocre life? Will you call unto him today and say, Lord, I really need to love you with all my heart, my soul, and my mind? Would you say, Lord, I want to see those unsearchable things. Lord, I want Jones Chapel Church of God to be on fire. Lord, I want to see people saved. Lord, I want to be involved. Lord, here I am. Use me. Do with me anything you choose for the glory of God. I hope you'll call to him today. You can do that in your pew. You can do it in front of the piano. I promise you, I won't come to that side unless you tell me to. Come over here. I will pray with you if you'd like me to. But here we are, 2018. How long will it be till Jesus comes? I don't know. Will I be ready when he comes? Yes, by the grace of God, I will. The world needs us. The world needs Christian people searching out the good things of God, calling unto him. So, if you've been living a mediocre Christian life, today's the day to stop. Today's the day to say, God, I want more of you. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we do stand in your presence to praise you and thank you for who you are, to thank you for the Savior of the world, to thank you for the Holy Spirit, and to thank you for being present with us today. And Lord, we sang, help us to be aware of your presence. And Lord, I believe you're here this day. And Father, whether people pray in the pew or around an altar or whatever, God, may we all pray. May we all call unto you and bring life to you. And may you show us those greater things of God. And may we live up to them. In Jesus' name, amen.